Let's go back to this morning, where we talked about the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. And we focused on the prayer that Elijah prayed, and especially the first three phrases of that prayer. Try to apply them to our own lives. He prayed, "Oh, let it be known this day that you are God." And then, "Let it be known that I am your servant." And then, "That I have done these things according to your word." And as the students were leaving, we wanted to impress upon them and on all of our hearts that we want to live unto the glory of God, as Elijah did. He had a passion for God's glory. "Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. And let it be known that I am your servant." We said, does the world around us know that we are living for Jesus? Does it show that we are the Lord's servants? Are we following him in such a way that people know? And then, do we love his word? Do we obey his word and follow what he tells us to do? And those were the three points. But I'm all day today, I intended to do something different tonight, but all day today I've just felt that we should come back to this story. I suppose it's a very familiar story to most everyone here. We know the story of the darkness, the disobedience, the rebellion, the turning from God in Israel under King Ahab and Jezebel, and the worshiping of the god Baal, who was a real tyrant. His name meant Lord or tyrant, and what a despot. He held the people in bondage. He only had the power that they assigned to him, of course. He wasn't a real God, a living God who had power, who could answer prayer, who could change lives. But they bowed before him. They gave him, assigned a certain authority and power to them, and allowed their hearts to be assigned it to him, and allowed their hearts to be turned away from God. And it was an awful abomination in God's sight. And the people were at a very, very low point. And God raised up Elijah. And Elijah came on the scene. We read about it in the 17th chapter, right at the beginning, saying to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And we read in the book of James that that proclamation was backed up by earnest prayer. He didn't just say that. He said that because God gave it to him to say. He was a prophet. A prophet speaks for God. And he had the word of God in his mouth. And this was a word from God. Elijah knew that on his own, he couldn't shut up the heavens or open the heavens. No, he was the prophet, the servant of God, the spokesman at this time for God. And when he said that to Ahab, I'm sure it was quite a striking thing to Ahab to see this man come at him and say this to him, "I stand before God. You know, you've turned from God. You've led the people astray from God. You've followed the idols, your wife's idols from her nation. You brought in worship to Baal. I stand before God, and there is not going to be any dew nor any rain here until I say so." And of course, that wasn't something that made him the most popular man in the court of Ahab, and he had to take off, you remember. But God took care of him. He found him a place by a brook where he would have water to drink, and he sent ravens to feed him. It's a story that you're, again, familiar with, and we don't have to go over it step by step. But I want to just look at this incident on Mount Carmel. We talked about it a little bit this morning, but focused almost entirely on that prayer of Elijah. Since we said Elijah was a prophet of God and he spoke for God, I was thinking especially of the things that Elijah said. He said these things for God. He was a prophet of God. And now you remember how at God's direction, it was God's plan. God shared the details with Elijah. Doesn't tell us that in detail here, but we know it must be true from his prayer because he said, I want the people to know that I've done all these things according to your word. So he must have told him exactly what he ought to do, and that must have been one of the things that gave Elijah the confidence to do what he did. I mean, can you imagine proposing a showdown like that? And believing that God would answer by fire from heaven must have been something that God gave him. He stipulated this. This series of events was something given to Elijah by God. And he said to Ahab, call those prophets together and we'll meet at Mount Carmel. Now the things that he said on Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18:21. They came, they gathered together to the mountain, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. There are a number of things here that I'd just like to call your attention to. Maybe one of them will strike home with you tonight. These are all words from God. And I'm praying that God will speak to us from them tonight. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In the NIV, how long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you serve God and serve Baal and even mix the worship of both? How long will you do that? It doesn't work. In the ESV it says, how long, I don't have it with me, but I saw the word limping. Limping. Oh, you have it. Thank you. Would you read that first? That's interesting.
It says, how long will you go limping between two different opinions?
Right. And you do. You limp along when you're not decided. I was interested to read that. It's, you know, there's something about being decided for something. Take your stand for God. And before you do that, you're just limping along. You're not really good for his cause. You're not running in his ways. You're not doing his will from the heart. You don't say, draw me. We will run after thee. Well, how long halt ye? How long waver ye? How long will you be limping? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And I think the people were a bit taken aback by this straight talk. It says they answered him not a word. Now I pray that tonight, if we're halting between two opinions, if we're just limping along, not making straight paths for our feet, not following on as we sang before, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere I will follow on. If we're not doing that with all of our hearts, I hope we won't keep quiet in our hearts, but I hope that we'll respond. I pray that it won't be the people answered him not a word, but rather when we hear this question, how long will you waver? How long will you limp? How long will you halt between two opinions? One foot, as they say, in the world and one foot in the church. You know it's not good. You know it's not right. You know it doesn't please God. You know you're going nowhere except backward and downward. And God calls us to come out, to be decided for him, determined. We used to sing a song, I am determined, I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. I've left the world and its pleasures behind, I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever he may lead me, I'll pasture wherever he may feed me, I am determined. I've made up my mind, I'll serve the Lord. It's just a little chorus they had, we'd sing sometimes, but that's a good thing. That's where we want to be, determined, resolved to serve the Lord. And here the people didn't want to answer. They knew things weren't right. And then Elijah went on speaking. I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. And let them choose one for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Okay, so now the second thing. Elijah says he issues this challenge to the people. And then they speak. Sounds good. Well, they had to say that because Baal was the god of these forces, these natural forces, and the sun god, and so he ought to be able to produce some fire. So well, I don't know if that's why they said this, but they said sounds fair. All the people answered and said, "It is well spoken," or "What you say is good." So Elijah says, "You go first. Choose you 1 bullock for yourselves, dress it first, for you are many, call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they did just what he said, and then they started to call on their God. "Oh, Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. So here's the next thing that Elijah said. And I believe he was speaking for God here. Some people say that you're not supposed to be sarcastic. And I think sometimes sarcasm is dead wrong. But Paul was sarcastic. I think Jesus used sarcasm in some places. I'm sure only in the right places. And so Elijah mocked them in this bitter or biting sarcasm. It's really great how he says, "Cry aloud, he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." He might be thinking very deeply, busy with something, traveling, pursuing, sleeping. So they called louder. They did what he said, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. So Elijah challenges them. Then he says, "Let's do this." Then when they do it and nothing happens, he mocks them. How could you trust in a God that can't hear, that can't do? How could you trust in a God like that when you have had and seen the works of God manifested, the Lord Jehovah among you? How could this be? So he mocks them. And then he says this, "Come near to me." Here's an invitation. "Come here, all people, come near." All the people came near unto him. I read this quickly this morning. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." That means that word of God came to Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel. He was a prince with God who had prevailed. And with the stones he built an altar, Elijah did, in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him, that's the bullock, on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice. So this is the next thing he says. And on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. He had such a confidence in God. He had such a confidence. He gave this command, pour this water on the altar. Pour it on the wood. Drench this wood and this sacrifice. What faith. He was so sure of God. You could say doctrinally sound, I'm sure, but you understand what I mean when I say he was so full of faith that he made it hard for God. What I mean is, I don't think you could make it hard for God, but as it appeared anyway, he was stacking the odds against the answer that he knew was coming in the eyes of the people. Well, then he prayed. We talked about that prayer this morning. I'll just read it. Elijah the prophet prayed, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. What a wonderful prayer. I think it was a quiet prayer. That's the tenor of the words anyway. I don't think he needed to get excited. It doesn't sound that way when he prayed, but he was confident of the answer. And the prayer was that God would vindicate himself, that God would glorify his name, showing that he was truly God, and that he would turn the people's hearts back. Remember, we said there are things that only God can do, and he would turn their hearts back to himself. This was his prayer. This was his prayer. Oh, Lord, hear me. Hear me. In Mendelssohn's Elijah, I don't know if any of you are familiar with that piece. They go through this story and other stories in Elijah's experience. And in this oratorio, when Elijah prays this prayer, and you're expecting the fire is going to fall right away, instead, just briefly, there's another song in there, and it's very softly sung. The angels come and sing to Elijah. And, you know, I like to think that Mendelssohn had it right and that's the way it was. But even if it wasn't exactly that way, I know that God was with him. And we know that God was with him. And that God was encouraging his servant at that time. What a place to be in. All these prophets over here, they had failed. He's human. He's human. I don't know. I would think, I might have thought anyway, just a little bit, what if it doesn't happen? What if it doesn't happen? What does that mean for me? What does it mean? I don't know, though, with Elijah, if he ever even had that thought. He seemed to have such an assurance, such a confidence in God. But Mendelssohn has them sing. From Psalm 55, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He never will suffer the righteous to be moved, it says. But in the English translation of Mendelssohn's Elijah, and he brings in another scripture there too. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He never will suffer the righteous to fall. He is at thy right hand. And it says, thy mercies, Lord, are great and higher than the heavens. Let none be made ashamed that wait upon thee. Now, if God whispered that into his ear, can you imagine? Imagine how wonderful that was. Yea, let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. It cannot be. It cannot be. Let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. And then the fire falls in Mendelssohn's Elijah. And in the Bible it falls too, right here. As soon as Elijah prays, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said, this is the next thing that Elijah said here on Mount Carmel. Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. So he gave an order for their execution. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So the fire of God fell. How likely was that? Or maybe I should say, how unlikely was that? It's just a tremendous thing that God did there in behalf of his servant and to show forth his glory. Think of the people that had followed other gods or that had been torn or were halting between two opinions. And now they saw this showdown. There must have been multitudes of people there. And they realized how they had been deceived by Jezebel and Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And so they might have followed along down to the brook and closed in around those prophets. And there was no escape for them. They couldn't resist. And their judgment was just. And it followed. And F.B. Meyer says that Ahab stood there a helpless spectator. That's in Great Men of the Bible. I really like that. Here's the king Ahab. You know that series Great Men of the Bible? There's a book on Elijah, and one thing he says there is Ahab, a helpless spectator, nor could Baal do anything to save them. Ahab stood there a helpless spectator, and Baal did nothing to save them. And now the prophets of Baal were slain, and Elijah did it. God gave him the strength to do that, and then the prophet knew that rain couldn't be far away, that heaven was going to open. There was going to be a, shall we call it, a cloudburst, an abundance of rain. He knew it had to be. And yet he prayed about it. Maybe we'll look at that another night. But here's another thing that Elijah knew and that all God's people need to know. That God only blesses the land. Elijah knew this for sure. All the way from the first place we met him in the 17th chapter at the first verse. God can only bless the land that doesn't harbor, that doesn't shelter these rivals to God's supremacy, the worship of God, God alone. And that's true for our hearts too. That if we harbor in our hearts some distraction or some other love, that God will not bless us and not let the fire fall upon us or the rain from heaven, because he wants our hearts. On my way to camp I turn on the radio, and someone had it on 94.7 in New York. That's a Christian station. And they were playing lovely songs. And I listened until I got to one I didn't like, and then I switched the station. But I heard a few songs first, and one was Is Your All on the Altar? I wasn't thinking in connection with Elijah, but it comes to me now. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control? You can only be blessed or have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed, but you cannot be blessed or have peace and sweet rest until all on the altar is laid. These idols have to come down. They do. Any other affection or affinity, we must pledge allegiance to the Lord and be determined to serve him and to worship him alone. Jesus said that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy when the devil wanted him to worship him. He said, oh no, God's word says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. In my heart, I just felt like, as though I should go over that story one more time tonight. And I wonder if it doesn't speak to someone here tonight. It speaks to me, I know. He's, I believe, seven different places, or that's what F.B. Meyer has in his chapter, seven different places that Elijah spoke right here in this little passage. And he was speaking for God, and God was challenging the people, and God wanted to purify his people, and he wanted their hearts, and he wanted their worship for him alone. And so he wants our love too. Our love, wholly his, and our hearts to be entirely given to him, to worship him, to serve him, not ourselves nor anything else, but to go after the Lord God with all of our hearts, to love Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. And we need the fire of the Holy Ghost to fall upon us. And we need a purification, a cleansing. You know what it means to be pure in heart? What is purity anyway? It's no alloy. No alloy. It means, I read once a definition of purity of heart as purity of heart means to want just one thing. One thing. In one of his letters to Timothy, the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, there are going to be loves. People are going to love other things. They're going to love themselves. They're going to love money, the things of this life. They're going to love pleasure. There it says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they're also going to, it says, want to hear, even when they go to church, they're going to choose to hear what they want to hear instead of what God wants to say. Isn't that an awful curse? An awful curse. God spoke through Elijah. God speaks to us. And he who has an ear, she who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says. Let them hear what the Holy Ghost says. He makes Jesus great. He draws our hearts to him. He wants us to pledge allegiance. Reign over my will. Reign over my affections. Victorious, O Lord. Make me loyal forever. Not like these children of Israel who followed these prophets of Baal. O Lord, cleanse my heart. Purify me. Pour out your spirit upon me. Make me love you as I ought to love. Well, Dear Jesus, take this story and the things that Elijah said and let them sound in our hearts, Lord. How long are you going to waver? How long will you limp along? How long till you choose? Make your choice for God. Make your choice to love Jesus supremely, to be one of his holy people. Lord, let your fire burn on the altar of my heart. Let me be pure and clean for you. Let me serve you with the pure motives, just the love of Jesus, the pure love of Jesus. Oh God, fill me with your spirit. Have your way with me. Don't let me go my own way, but let me go yours. Let me follow on. Follow on to know you. Follow all the way until I see you face to face. Oh, what a day that will be for all who have followed faithfully by God's grace and have kept their hearts. Didn't John say, little children, keep yourselves from idols? Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Here's a song that we don't often sing, at least in our church. Maybe you do. I noticed it in our hymn book earlier today. It speaks about Elijah, and it speaks about the fire. It says, send the fire. And as I looked at it, it looked like it was a Salvation Army song. But it's good for us. Thou Christ of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire. Let's pray it tonight yet. Yeah.